Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our guest is Sasha Morozov. She's a former executive who holds a master's in social work and is the founder of Sasha's Ex Home. When Sasha isn't chasing after her two sons, she now utilizes her clinical skills to coach women who are killing it at work but feel like they are failing at home. She wants to help them have more time, less clutter, and habits for a peaceful life. Sasha believes that working moms are exceptional humans who are skilled, devoted, and unstoppable. Sasha has spent almost 15 years working in the nonprofit field to help individuals and families create better futures. Sasha is an avid minimalist, productivity master, and obsessed with organizing and designing people's lives. Sasha has now developed a four-step method that focuses on self, home, relationships, and habits to help moms hit start on the life they're put on pause. Okay, there's lots of goodness in that, that's for sure. All right, so tell us a little more about Sasha and how you got into the field. Like, what happened that made you want to give up an executive career? Like, what about your life was going on that you wanted to jump in and help more moms?
Absolutely. So, you know, I feel like I've always been one of the lucky ones in the sense that, you know, I pursued a career I was always really passionate about. Like, I love helping people. And then it got to a point of where, you know, you kind of climb the nonprofit ladder, you climb the nonprofit ladder. And what happens is that I became this person that, you know, was doing great at work, but was coming home and almost dreading. Because not because I didn't have a good relationship with my partner, not because I didn't have healthy kids, but because it just got so heavy. That's really the best way I can describe it. And my relationship with my oldest was really at a tough place. And it was at a tough place because I think part of it is the fact that it took so long and so many outside voices before we actually sought the help that we needed. Because I was always saying, well, you know, I'm a social worker. I should know all of these things. If there was an issue, I would see it and things like that, that, you know, this kind of combination kind of started to rule our household. Our relationship, not just mine and his relationship, everybody's relationship started to get affected. And it was just so hard at some points. But then when we got the help, then when we started to really lean on almost like outside people to kind of help and guide us through the tough parts, I realized that, oh my gosh, how many people do I know that are doing great at work that feel like, you know, I got to do this. I've worked, like, I'm educated. I'm, you know, like, a hard worker. I'm dedicated. But then they're really coming home and their life at home, you know, looks different. Like, if their boss, client, or whoever saw them at the park with their kids, they'd be like, who is this person? This isn't the person we see in the boardroom. This isn't the person we see making the sales calls. And I wanted to kind of really find a way to merge those two identities. Because I feel like it's our home life is really where the heart is. I know that's like the cheesiest, but I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Our home should be a sanctuary. Our home life should be something we look forward to. And there's so many times where instead I see women going into the workforce be like, oh, this is so much easier. Oh, this is so much, like I can do this 24 hours, but that home life, that's the sticky part. And I didn't want that. I wanted to really find a way for those two worlds to blend together. So women weren't just coming home and feeling heavy, weren't coming home being aggravated or overwhelmed with the endless to-do list, the birthday parties, the scheduling, and all of it. Mm-hmm. That they were coming home to a world of peace, coming home to a place where it's theirs and they feel comfortable. They feel safe.
Okay. That's a lot to unpack. So tell me a little more about how getting outside help, what that looked like. Was that your family going to therapy? Was that you going to therapy? What resources did you put into place?
Yeah. So we started with obviously having our child with a psychiatrist evaluation. And then from there, it really became that the psychiatrist worked with my child, the therapist worked with my husband and I in terms of how we can all, you know, just really work together as a family unit. And then I sought out like my own coaching, and that's what really did the spark. Because honestly, that's one of the reasons I love being a coach, is because sometimes we get so caught up in our own stuff, in our own world, that it just takes somebody from the outside to come in and just peek in and say, hey, what about this? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, you're not doing that bad in this, as bad as you think. Like, look at the progress you've made so far. And that really made a world of difference. Also, another reason why I love what I do now is because I get to bring that to other women. I get to be their outside voice. I get to be the person that's like, hey, where are you? What's going on? And what can we work on for goals? What can we get going? I think that's really one of my like magic powers. I love organizing and designing people's lives. And part of that is really from them of sharing like, what if it could look like this? What if you got a little bit further ahead in whatever area of life you would like to be in? How would that be? Well, who would you be at that point? And let's start from there and let's work backwards and we'll tackle it goal by goal to get there.
Awesome. That sounds really helpful to people. So tell me, like, other than getting therapeutic help for your family, what else was helpful? Like, did you use certain book resources? Were there YouTube videos? Like, what else helped?
Oh my gosh. Of course, the like downward spiral of Google Land and books and this. And I'll tell you again, I'm totally owning the privilege right now of that we had that really, I think, played a significant part in this. And I'm totally owning the fact that most people do not have the same resources, but we were able to go to another country for a few months during that time, not because of this, but it kind of coincided in a way. It wasn't because of this at all. It was just different circumstances. And I think this new environment, this new, like, we didn't have kind of our regular routine and all of the stuff we had to get to go to here, go to there. It was just us. That we were able to kind of take a deep breath. We were able to kind of just get to know each other. We were able to come from a different place. And I know that that may not be a possibility for a lot of other people. And it was different, completely different circumstances for us of why we were able to do that. But that, I think, played a huge part. And honestly, I'll tell you, for my child, again, at the time, he was like six. And part of it was, honestly, like giving him more independence, that giving him more autonomy, you know, coming from, I've never been a helicopter parent or anything, but I want him to believe in himself. And, you know, he's someone that's very pessimistic and, you know, just a lot of different qualities that, you know, having to, you know, work with him in that mind shift. And I'll tell you the hardest part about that when we're talking about my child and our relationship, that again, a psychotherapist had to like really drill into me, is the fact that, you know, I'm like up here. I'm like just a natural, spunky, like optimistic, like let's go, like rule the world, save the world kind of gal. Like I love it. That's just like my bread and butter. I love it, love it, love it. And I wake up like ready to slay the day, you know? Mm-hmm. I know not everyone's a morning person, but I'm like, cool, like let's go, let's do this, let's do that. And that is not where he's at all. Right, and the right. fact that was me, and again, it was just natural to who I am, was actually hurting him. Because it was so far and so disconnected from where he is that instead of me thinking that this is helpful because this is how I am, this isn't like special treatment I was trying to, you know, do for him, that I needed to be the one that toned it out. You know, I needed to be the one that like kind of, you know, step back, not in the way that I'm interacting with him. Because even though it might be a little more unnatural for me to be like, okay, let's go, that's really what he needed. So that was a really big, I would say, learning curve for myself.
And did he respond when you were able to take it down? Not just, oh,
I mean, beautiful. Again, it takes time, right? Yeah, like, I think I know, we know, like, it wasn't like overnight. I think at first it was like, Okay. But I could tell that it was easier for him to receive my words. I could tell it was easier for him to, be a little more open with me over time, and also figuring out when those times work. Again, I know we're kind of getting into more of the parent, child relationship, but it really worked out that, like, for me, I recognized that, at nighttime when he's going to bed, he'll say things to me that he never would have during the day. Not when I'm picking him up, I'm like, how's school? What's going on? Never at that time. So it's just understanding him as a whole person, understanding what times, how to communicate, and giving him a little more autonomy, and really trying to take his thoughts into consideration, even if those thoughts are very negative, even if those thoughts and his experience is feeling that it's very black and white, right? Then we know that life isn't gray. So that was hard for me to adjust as well, because I am very like, well, life happens, and we could always make it better, and that's not his outlook, and that's okay, and that's where we're at.
I think this is actually really helpful for moms to hear, because we know like all of our children have different personalities. It is so easy as a mom to beat ourselves up when we don't get it right with our kids. And so it's like experimentation. Well, maybe this will work. Let's try this time of day. So I really love that you're willing to, look at yourself to see how you could meet his needs in a different way. But I'm a big book reader. Were any books helpful in the parenting journey or your coaching journey? I would love to know what they
Yes.
were.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh my gosh. Of course. Of course. Of
Okay.
course. Okay. The Blessing of a Skinny Knee is fabulous. That's like, to me, it's like a golden staple. Do you have a child like I do where, he may be a little bit more pessimistic. He may be very black and white and not able to really see different choices, that it's like, if it didn't work out, that's it. The optimistic child was a game changer for me. And if you also have a child that has very big emotions, socially, emotionally has some trouble regulating, brain development looks different in that way versus, IQ. The book that really helped me also, it's called The Explosive Child. So funny enough, one is the optimistic child and one is the explosive child, but those two were really game changers. The optimistic child really helped to how can give good ideas on how to, show them that there could be different options, and how to actually just acknowledge that that's his experience as well. And the explosive child really was
Really
helpful
good book.
in handling those big emotions, because it's different when they're little, right? And you're like, oh, everybody has tantrums. But when they're 8, 10, and on the floor having tantrums, it's something, the light bulb should go off that, maybe this isn't so age appropriate at this point. Maybe that, this is a little bit outside of the normal scale. And that's okay too, because I think a lot of families, especially women, may feel, especially if they hear it from like other members in their families, like, well, I just tell them blah 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 and they listen. I'm like, well, that's great for your family. Or like, I don't understand why he was totally calm when we were with him, and now he's around you, and it looks totally different. And one of the best advice I ever received about that is my last tangent, I promise,
No,
which
you're
is
fine.
that, especially for kids that have big emotions, is that if they're at school all day, if they're around the grandparents, they're around, like, they're it's almost like they have to keep it in, because they know that it might not be so appropriate to not explode, but just like truly feel all their feelings in a way. So when they do come home, when we are around, their safe place, if the child's parents are their safe place, I know that may not be for everyone, but if they are, that's most likely when the kid breaks down. So those breakdowns wasn't in response of like defiance or anything like that. Those breakdowns were actually in a way to connect, because they had to have been holding it in all day
It's a
long,
release.
and now they're able to just be and just collapse for a little while.
Yeah, it's release time. And I agree, the safety of a home, if your home is safe. It's almost like if we have a bad day at work, our partner is usually the safe person to kind of vent on. And we know as adults, that's not always a healthy thing, but it's very easy to take our partners for granted and do that. So it's like, okay, wait a minute. I need to find other ways to release. And kids don't have that perspective yet.
So, yes. Yeah. And that's why I'm so passionate about women living their best life at home. I'm not saying everywhere that like they need to be perfect and put on makeup and da-da-da-da, all of this. No, what I'm saying is I just want you to come home and be able to love your life at home, to be able to have those safe conversations with your partner, mm-hmm. to be able to see your children and understand them for who they are, and to be able to walk into a place where you have your own spot, where it's not you that's the only person doing every single chore and every single calendar and every single birthday party invite and gift and, you know, sports run around, like all a dance, and whatever else, tutors, yeah. like I can go on, right? And I think that's where what kind of is the off balance that I see most of the time is that fact that the women take on so much. And when we really kind of digest it, we go through that like step by step, and like we really start with the self of like, what's really going on and how much of it do you actually have to do? We find out that it's not that much that they have to actually do. It's just that we just keep piling mm-hmm. on things because outside influences of societal norms, all of this stuff. And guess what? What gets slid off the plate then? Things for us. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just like get nails done and get a massage. No. I'm seeing women, I feel like, sacrifice friendships. Sacrifice dreams that they have of careers because, oh, well, I had a baby, so, you know, I can't ask for a promotion or I can't. And I'm saying, why not? Right. You're spending that time during the day at work anyway. Why not actually be, you know, going to the next level as you dream it? And that's the work that I really do, is kind of planting that seed and helping set goals to grow it into mm-hmm. a flower, into a tree of who they want to be. And it obviously doesn't happen overnight, right? Obviously. But when you get that spark and you recognize that you have more control than you think, because again, I hear it all the time. I can't, there's no way that could work. You know, kind of this mm-hmm. realm of like, it's not possible. And I come question and I get to why. Why is it not? Why is it not? A lot of times it's honestly not because we're the ones saying no to ourselves.
Yeah. It's easy for us to say no to ourselves and not to everything else, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where I challenge and say, what would happen, you know, if you didn't take little Johnny to soccer practice every single Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. What happens if you, you know, carpooled with somebody else then? What, there's so many ways that we can get creative. And I think that's kind of a fear. People think that I'm going to make them give everything up. And I say, no, I'm not here to make you give anything up. It's your life. I'm not living it. You're living it. What I am here to say is to show different ways that all of it can be accomplished while still having some of those little things, sparks that really is the creative side of you. That's really something that you are trying to grow and nourish happen. And it doesn't mean to just hire a nanny or, you know, an assistant or anything. No, many of us are not privileged in that way. And that's okay. But there are people within our circle that we can rely on more. And we can even give kids more responsibilities as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. My kids were trained early in making their own school lunch. I don't remember the last time I made a school lunch. Yeah, because that's on them. And now they do their own laundry. It's just so helpful to raise more independent children, for sure. My kids know I work really, really hard in long hours. So they know that it's helping me and them to be more independent. So, yeah.
Yes. One of my favorite questions to ask is, honestly, what do you want your kids to say about you when they're 20 years older? When they look back, what do you want them to say? Do you want them to say, my mom stayed home and she was always there for me the second I walked in the door? Do you want them to say that my mom, like I saw her like do long hours and celebrate those achievements when she got to that promotion or whatever, got that deal closed, whatever it may look like, right? What is it that you want that makes you feel good? Mm-hmm. Start there. If anything, that's the best advice. Just start there. Because when we do it in that way, then, you know, we kind of feel a sense of relief in a yeah. way as well, because then you see, oh, you know what? Making lunches I'm totally fine if they never remember that I made them lunch or didn't make them lunch, right? Like, but maybe for somebody else, making lunches, leaving a note in the lunchbox, right? Maybe really powerful for them because, again, we come from different ways. And I know you work with a lot of women who have experienced trauma as well. So maybe that whole idea of lunches, maybe they didn't have that much to eat. Maybe they didn't have, like, that maybe they weren't cared for or nourished in that way. So that's why it matters. That's and again, whatever points. Matters, yeah. whatever matters, it's great. That's what matters to you. And, but let's own it and understand why it matters.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the little lunch note idea. I totally, when I was a younger social worker, I did buy like some that were pre-made to put in my daughter's lunch. I just loved doing that when she was little. Yeah, but no, you made a really great point. Like one woman's way isn't another woman's way, and it's okay. You know, one of the things I often say to women too, is that it's not about quantity of time with family. It's more about the quality and what that could mean. So even if you have to work outside the home for X amount of hours, you know, if you have to do that, you have to do that, you know, in order to make ends meet, you know, then focus on the quality time that you have. You know, what would that look like to connect? Because just because someone's a homemaker, it doesn't mean that their kids are getting quality time.
Yes.
They have to, you know, cook and clean, and there's just a lot of stuff to do. So yeah, how we work in our families can look different from all of us. And we really should do more to empower each other and help each other instead of judging.
Yes. And just understanding each other. I think that's such a big piece, especially if you've experienced trauma, significant trauma, or whatever your experience has been, understanding how, what is it that you're passing on, right? I'm sure we talk about that a lot with clients and things like that, but what part of that, just like I said, for somebody that whole, like making a lunch is something they really hold on to because they didn't have any of that. You know, maybe for somebody, it's really the safety part of walking their child or driving them to school because they don't want them on a bus or they don't want them, you know, maybe there's things like that. It's fine, whatever it is. And I think that's where I would love to give women just the permission to be themselves because it's fine where you're at, obviously with boundaries, right? Like we want to make sure it's like good boundaries and all that, but it's fine where you're at. But I want you to just understand where that is. If you're like, oh, I really, like, I need my, like, I have a friend, no joke. She quit her job so she could be a soccer mom. Complete, like, 180 than who I am. But she's so much happier. Again, privilege and, you know, class and all of that. So I obviously all of those things, but like, to me, it's like my worst nightmare having to like drive kids around and like go to like out of state tournaments for a whole weekend. I'm like, wait, you're every weekend, you're somewhere else. And like, you like that? And all you do is like sit for 6 hours and like see your kid play for like 30 minutes. Like it boggles my mind, right? Uh-huh. Like, but guess what? She's happy. God bless. And she loves it. She's totally like, yep, I'm a soccer mom. Like when people ask her, what do? I'm a soccer mom. You know, but great for her, right? Like, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us more about how you can be helpful for women who have survived trauma. What is it about your work that's really helpful?
You know, I think what it is that it's very individualized. That's why I don't do group or things like that, that it's very individualized because I love the one-on-one interactions. And again, I love to see those small steps being made. And I feel that the way that my approach, it's very comfortable. It's very low barrier. It's very much in a way of where would you like to go with this? You know, and I'm not here to push. I'm here to just show you the different possibilities. And I think when you show people different possibilities and people understand that they have different options, then they're able to make such a healthier choice versus being stuck in a place of, I'm just at my wit's end. I'm exhausted all day. I don't know how I can balance everything. And then we kind of dig deep. We get under the hood. We get into what is everything? What is everything to you? Mm-hmm. What are those values that you want to pass on? What are those, you know, things that is really draining to you? Because I don't think we spend enough time to understand that, like, For somebody, cooking is a beautiful, creative way. For somebody else, it's super draining. Oh my gosh. Like me thinking about like cooking, I'm like, oh my God. But guess what? Me thinking about cleaning, I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm going to clean the kitchen. I'm going to, again, everybody's different, right? So yeah. That's where I work with women and think. So in my house, what we've instituted is, again, cooking, shopping. It's just not my thing, which is fine. Doesn't mean that I never do it. Obviously I do it. But guess what? For my partner, he's totally fine going food shopping. Mm-hmm. Totally fine. So that's who does the food shopping. Well, I'm like, oh, I got to go to the store. Like, I got 20 other things I could be doing. Totally loves it. He goes at like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, my God, if I'm not in bed by 9, like, come on, you know? But that's what works, right? Mm-hmm. And that alleviates some of my draining. But guess what? It still gets done. And I feel lighter, not because, oh, I got rid of it, but because it really is something that I just have, like, it's just draining, you know? Mm-hmm. That's kind of my approach of just working with, what does it look like for you? Where would you like to go? How can I help you get there? And guess what? I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to check in on how you're doing. I'm not going to punish you if you didn't, you know, get to X, Y, or Z. No. But guess what? We're going to examine why it didn't happen and what we can do different to adjust, because mm-hmm. it's life. We're not robots. We're not like programmed, like, okay, 8, get up at 7. Okay, check. Make breakfast, check. Like, that, we're not robots.
So and shit happens during the day.
Yes, mm-hmm. and it's okay. But how do we learn from it? What are we going to do different next time is, I think, a key question that I challenge my clients to really think about.
Yeah, it's a great question. No, I like that approach a lot. I would see that as being very helpful. And I don't see judgment or criticism. It's meeting the client where they're at and saying, you know, wherever you're at, there's lots of different possibilities. We're going to explore those. I think it's very hopeful.
And even if those possibilities are so little, mm-hmm. that's okay, because my goal is not to change you. My goal is for you to just do something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. than where you're at right now to get unstuck.
Beautiful. So Sasha, for the women who are listening, who really are resonating with your message and your personality, your style, you know, they need a little more hope and optimism. I'm stumbling on the words. I see you as full of energy. So someone, whether their energy is low or high, I think you could be really helpful depending where they are at and if they're ready for that. How can women reach you? What's the easiest way to reach you?
Of course, the easiest is please head on over to Sasha X Home if this is resonating with you. I have a great free download as well. You can book a consultation as well. But the download, I think, is awesome. And it's 5 steps to coming home happy after work. Just get that. So it gives you a little bit of ideas on how to walk through the door to just feel a little bit lighter and a little bit brighter at the end of your day as well.
I love that. I used to work with a military mom who would arrive home and just sit in her car, dreading going in because she had 4 kiddos and they were at each other's throats. So how wonderful a resource like yours would have been for her. You know, we did a lot of work around that, but it was her reality. She was just so fatigued by it.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what, like, hello, come. Those are my people. Those are my people. Yes. That's where I'm like, oh my gosh, call me. Let's talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sasha, thank you so much for being on our show today. I think your message is super helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, Karen. I really appreciate it. It's been wonderful to be able to have this space with you.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.